Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching to them, and he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let me read to you two verses from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. So Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Beautiful passage. So this is I'm going to read it. "In my vision at night, I looked." So this is the prophet Daniel speaking. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So these words that I have just read, they were written by the prophet Daniel. They were written around 400 years before Christ was born. Daniel, he tells us of this vision that he had, that he saw one like a son of man, a key word this morning. He saw one like a son of man, who was brought before God. And this Son of Man, he received all authority and all power. And all peoples worshipped him. His dominion was everlasting. His kingdom could not be destroyed. Now, if you are paying attention to the reading of Mark earlier on, you might have noticed that Jesus, he calls himself the Son of Man. And he says that he has authority to forgive sins. The Son of Man with authority. And this morning, as we look at this story in Mark chapter 2, we will witness the wonder of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And hopefully, by the end of this message, we will be assured that he can forgive us of our sins. And children, we will also see in this passage, through friendship and dangerous skepticism. So the word skepticism means someone that doesn't believe much in things. So it's a wonderful story, friendship and skepticism. So Mark, he starts by telling us that Jesus' fame had reached such a level that he was not able to walk around without being pressed by a crowd of people wanting to be healed or to have demons expelled. And in chapter 1, actually, of Mark, Mark said that Jesus, he healed this man, and he healed this man, and he said to the man, "Now go and don't tell anyone." But instead of that, what the man does is he disobeys Jesus. He goes on and tells everyone about Jesus. And then because he disobeyed Jesus, the result was that Jesus could not walk around freely. There was always lots of people pressing him. And then here in chapter 2, the Bible tells us that it was the same case in this small town called Capernaum. Jesus was there, and he was able to stay just for a couple of days until people found out. And then they all started gathering there. And they came to the house where he was, and they flooded the place. And then the Bible says that Jesus started to tell them the word of God. He started to tell them about God and who he is. Now, while all of this was happening at that house, Jesus was with this folk, and he was preaching God's word to them. While all of that was happening, 5 friends were still making their way. Other people, when they heard about Jesus, they were able to just drop everything and run to Jesus. They could leave everything behind. But these 5 friends who are still making their way, that wasn't their case. Now, they had heard about Jesus. They knew that Jesus performed all kinds of miracles and all kinds of amazing things he could do. You know, he would expel demons and heal people. So they knew about Jesus. And they were eager to see him. But there was something, or rather someone, who was holding them back. One of these 5 friends was a paralytic. He could not walk. So while everyone else could just run to see Jesus, this man depended on his friends to carry him. And thankfully, he had 4 faithful friends. And these 4 lads, they knew Jesus' fame. And they knew that he healed all kinds of diseases and peoples. And they just made up their mind that they would not leave their friend behind. So they took, imagine that, this man, he cannot walk. The 4 friends, they grab the man on his bed and they carry him. They lift him up and they go to the house where Jesus was. Because they believed that Jesus could heal him. The problem, however, was that at this stage, everyone had already arrived at the house. Everyone was already there. So I imagine that as they are walking with his friend and they are approaching the house, they can already see all the commotion going on and that there were people even outside the house. So the story tells us that they come to the house and they try to wriggle their way in, have no success. Mark says that they couldn't because of the crowd, so much people, so many people, they couldn't get in. So what we have now is a crisis in our story. These guys, they put so much effort in bringing his friend, and now they cannot go in. So here's their chance to have their friend healed, but there is no space for them. And then Mark tells us that what they do then is they go up the ceiling of the house, and they start making a hole in the roof. Because their friend has to be healed. That was their mindset. Their friend has to be healed. Jesus can heal him. Jesus will change his life forever. He's going to be able to walk. So let's do this. Anyway, the roof is open. They manage to get a paralytic man with his bed up in the roof. And then what they do is that they start to lower the man in front of Jesus. Jesus is going to heal him. But imagine that everyone is there. Jesus is he's seen that scene, maybe even with a smile on his face, because of the amazing faith and perseverance of these friends, and how much effort they put into it. And as the mat, as the bed comes down, the great moment comes. Now, things gonna happen. And Jesus looks at the paralytic man and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I guess that wasn't what those four friends, what those five friends were expecting. It probably felt a bit like missing a penalty. I'm Brazilian, so I had to bring up some football, you know. So it's not what they were expecting, yet we are not told what their thoughts were on this. If you look at the passage, Mark doesn't tell us what they think or what they say. But instead, he shifts the focus, not to those friends anymore, but to another group of people that were in that house with Jesus that day. These men are the teachers of the law. And the teachers of the law, they were not impressed with Jesus' words. So the teachers of the law, for those of you that don't know, the teachers of the law, they were kind of scholars. They were the authorities in religious law. They knew everything that there was to be known, or at least they thought so. About the scriptures. And because they were scholars, because they knew their Bibles, they knew that no one can forgive sins but God. No one has authority to do such a thing. Have a look at verses 6 and 7. It says, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Now, if you're someone that attends church regularly and you are used to the Bible stories, you probably hear this name, teachers of the law, or scribes, or Pharisees. And when you hear their name, you already roll your eyes, you know, and say, "Oh, there they come again, looking for trouble. They're going to be annoying Jesus somehow. They're going to say something unhelpful. You know, they're just going to be unhelpful." But in this case, we must realize that the question that these teachers of the law raise and what they say actually is not mistaken. They actually were spot on a particular thing of what they said. Because they understood that no one can forgive sins but God. So they were spot on that case. But they look at Jesus and they despise him. And they say, "This man is blaspheming. He's claiming to do something that only God can do." Now they for a change, they didn't say that out loud. They just, you know, thought that in their hearts, the Bible says. And anyway, they were thinking in their hearts, you know, "This man is blaspheming." And the story goes that as they are thinking that in their hearts, "This man is blaspheming," Jesus looks at them and says, "Why are you thinking in your hearts that I am blaspheming?" So I imagine that this already startles them, because here's a question for you. Who can know men's thoughts but God? And before they get the chance to answer, Jesus throws in another question in verse 9. He says, "Which is easier, to say to this paralytic? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, raise, take your bed and walk? We're not told in the story what the correct answer is supposed to be. But I would guess that it's much easier to say your sins are forgiven, because, you know, no one can check that. Well, if you say, you know, stand up and walk, well, everyone can see that. So so you have to prove. You standing up is a proof that you have that power to do that. So forgiving sins is not something verifiable. And then comes a key part of the story. That is Jesus' declaration of his identity and of his power. Starting at verse 10, he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose, and immediately picked up his bed, and he went out before them all. Let me call your attention to a few things here. Look at the title that Jesus gives to himself. It says, "The Son of Man." For us, this title, Son of Man, might not mean much, really. But we must remember that Jesus here is talking with the Bible scholars. He's talking with people that know the scripture really well. And they knew that Jesus was claiming with this title not to be a mere healer, you know, someone that performs miracles. And he wasn't just claiming to be a good teacher. What he's doing here is, when he uses this title, he's claiming to be equal to God. Jesus is saying that that man in Daniel's vision that we read a few minutes ago, the Son of Man, is no other but himself. He is the one whose kingdom is everlasting. He is the one that rules the nations. He is the one who is worthy of receiving worship and glory from all people everywhere. And then by healing this man, he demonstrates that he has authority, not only to know men's thoughts, not only to heal paralyzed people, but most important of all, he has all the power, all the authority to deal with the worst of man's problems. He, as the Son of Man, as the second person of the Trinity, very God of very God, equal to God, he has authority to forgive sins. And he demonstrates that by healing this man in front of them all. And as in the vision of Daniel, in which all people glorify God, it happens the same here in verse 12. All people glorify God. Now, what does that mean for us today? That Jesus is the Son of Man with authority to forgive sins. It means so much, because we all are sinners in desperate need of forgiveness. And remember, no one can forgive us but God. Trying to rationalize our sins won't help. Trying to forgive ourselves won't help. What we need is true forgiveness. So when we go to our beds at night and we can't fall asleep, and we think of the things we have done and that we are ashamed of, and the sins we have committed even maybe many years ago, things we have done against other people, or maybe even against ourselves. And then we try to rationalize it. And we say to ourselves, no, that is okay. You know, I must just forgive myself, and that is in the past now. I have just to forgive myself and let it go. But the reality is that deep down, we know that it is not okay. Deep down, we know we cannot forgive ourselves. And that's why the guilt just doesn't go away by repetition. We want to believe that by repeating the same things over and over, this might one day take the guilt away. But it just doesn't. And our attempts to do so, it's pretty much like blowing a brick and hoping that it's going to fly away. And this is because we cannot forgive our sins. And to make things worse, every one of our attempts to forgive our own sins is nothing but blaspheming against God. The teachers of the law were right. No one can forgive sins but God, and trying to do so is just blasphemy. Now, I know I'm giving you a lot of bad news, but here is the good news. What we see in this passage is that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, He has authority to forgive sins. He has dominion over all things. He's the only one that can forgive us of our sins. So this morning, instead of trying to rationalize our sins, instead of trying to convince ourselves that, you know, everything is okay, it's going to be fine, there is something much better to do that will bring real change, that is coming to Jesus Christ. But maybe you feel you have no strength to do so, like the paralytic. And I think a good thing we can always do is ask a friend for help and prayer. Ask someone to help you. Talk to someone here in the church to help you in your journey. Confess your sins to God. And be assured that He forgives you because He has authority. Remember what Jesus said, "But I want you to know." That's important, isn't it? There are lots of things that Jesus doesn't want us to know. But this one He says, "But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And as we see throughout Scripture, He's a gentle and loving God. He cares about our heavy burden. He cares about the heavy burden we bring on our back, the burden of sin. And He says, "Come to me and have your sins forgiven. Let me take your burden from you. Come and have rest. Come and eat and drink freely in my house. Come to me," says the one that has authority to forgive all sins on earth. "Come to me," says the Son of Man. So, dear brother and dear sister, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. If you have put your faith in Christ, there is no need to be ashamed. There is no need to rationalize your sins. And this is because He forgives you. "But I want you to know," He says, "that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." The healing of the paralytic man resulted in the glory of God and the forgiveness of our sins this morning results in the glory of God and in our joy. So just before we finish, let me read again to you those amazing words that prophet Daniel spoke. And then we're going to pray. He says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful for the gospel, for the good news that there is forgiveness for our sins, even those sins we cannot forgive ourselves, even those sins that keep bringing us shame. We are thankful, Father, because you sent your only begotten Son to take our shame, to become a man, to be born of a virgin, become a man and live among men, live a perfect life, and die the most shameful death that there was at the time. Death on a cross, taking our shame and our sins. We are thankful, Father, that we are now united to you if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we have no reason to be ashamed, but we have much reason to rejoice and be glad in your salvation. We are thankful that you do forgive us of our sins. We are thankful that we are united to you with a bond that cannot be broken, in an everlasting, loving union. We are thankful, Father, that we have been adopted by you and we are called your children. We are thankful, Father, that we belong to your kingdom, an everlasting kingdom that will have no end. May all people worship you. May all people confess that you alone is God. Help us, Father, in our weaknesses. Strengthen us when we have no strength, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.